the Business on RTE Radio 1 with Bank of Ireland. As Ireland's enterprise bank, we're lending to over 500 businesses and farmers every week.
Good morning. Coming up, the island odyssey of a secret millionaire, corporate interests in the corridors of power, and making a living under the moonlight. You can contact us by text to 51551, by phone to 1850715150, email thebusiness@rte.ie, or tweet to @thebusinessrte. But first, it looks like the austerity era is over. Taoiseach Enda Kenny has pledged a series of tax cuts over the next 3 years. We're joined now by Professor Hans-Werner Sinn, who has been described by the German Financial Times as one of only two economists who has the power to influence policy in that country. He's been described by the London Independent as one of 10 people who have changed the world. And as well as being head of the powerful IFO think tank in Munich, he's also a member of the Advisory Council of the German Ministry of Economics. Hans-Werner, we've had quite a lot of positive economic news here of late. So is now the right time to bring in tax cuts?
No, this is absurd. How can you stimulate growth by having a larger budget deficit? That's what it means. Tax cuts or more expenditure. That is not growth. Growth comes from saving and investing. And let the private economy invest. You don't need more stimulus, demand stimulus in Ireland for an economy which is growing like hell in the moment. This would be entirely wrong. To the contrary, it is now the time to restrain the demand and to calm down this enormous boom which is in the making, so that Ireland will resettle to a prosperous, permanent growth process. Growth comes not from demand. Growth comes from supply-side policies that really improve the competitiveness of the economy. And many Europeans have not understood that. This is the time when Ireland will have to begin repaying its debt, to reduce the debt-GDP ratio, both for the government and also for the entire economy externally. This is the big chance. One can lose this chance if it is very tempting, if more tax revenue comes in, to spend all that money, and that would bring Ireland into a new bubble of a similar kind, and any bubble bursts. So it is very, very important that this unusually strong growth of Ireland is now accompanied with a continuation of a policy of fiscal restraint.
One of the big issues that the government faces now in relation to the economy, following on from that, is that the foreign multinational sector and those exporting companies are clearly doing very well. They've gained some of their competitive advantage back again through the crisis. But the government really wants to create jobs in Ireland. And they're looking at the construction sector. They're looking at retailing and getting people to spend money and measures that might stimulate activity and create employment there. You think that would be misguided, do you?
Yes, because it's happening already. So why do you have to stimulate demand if there is enough demand? This is true, debatable perhaps for other European countries in Southern Europe, although there I would wish they continued with austerity, but certainly not for Ireland, where the boom is going on. The Irish performance is magnificent. Ireland had an increase in industrial output by 20% in the second quarter over the previous year. This is enormous. This is really a jump upward. And also in the years before, the Irish production level did not really come down relative to the pre-crisis period. And thus, Ireland is the best performer among all those countries that were suffering from the crisis and which received aid from the programs.
What about the question of the debt? We're trying to do a restructuring deal, and the Irish finance minister recently got provisional backing from the Euro finance ministers to pay off the IMF portion first. That should bring about some savings. I think it could save us about 350 million a year because it's cheaper.
Yes, There are higher interest rates. I do understand that Ireland wants to repay the high interest debt first, but I think it would also be fair to think about repaying the debt vis-à-vis the rest of the Eurozone as quickly as possible. I mean, there were generous rescue credits from the ESM given to Ireland at interest rates which were very favorable at that time. And it is time to think about repaying that too.
One of the issues that we face, a very positive thing, is that our bond yields have come down and it's incredibly cheap now for us to raise money on international markets. But is there an element of a bubble about that because of measures taken by the European Central Bank? Would you have concerns that there's something unrealistic about that?
Of course, it is unrealistic. I mean, the short-term interest rate, which the ECB requires now for its lending, is just 0.15%. This is ridiculously low. They do that because the situation in Southern Europe is still desperate, but it's the wrong recipe. I mean, there is enough credit for Southern Europe. Credit supply is sufficient, except there is not a demand for that. The investment opportunities in Southern Europe are simply not there because Southern Europe is too expensive relative to its competitors. Think of the wages in Eastern Europe, Poland, for example, and Spain. Spain has wages in the order of 24 euros, and Poland has wage cost per hour and in manufacturing, and Poland has those of 7. So Spain is 3 times as expensive. Who, as an investor, would go to Spain rather than Poland? And these things have to be changed.
What is the view in Germany in relation to a lot of these things? Germany, its image around Europe and certainly in some countries has taken a bit of a hammering, where people are very critical of German policy and views around the euro and the euro crisis and austerity. Do you think that Germany has suffered a bit of reputational damage?
Yes, that could be, but I
You're not
find
as
this.
popular as you were, Hans Werner, I think.
I. What do you mean?
No, in Germany, in general.
Yeah, and this is a little bit strange, you know. Germany is the largest austerity mitigator in the Eurozone. Austerity comes not from Germany's budgetary requirements through the Stability and Growth Pact and so on. Austerity comes from the market. If Italy, if Spain, if Greece would have to pay market rates of interest, they would in the moment all be bankrupt. And the fact that they are not bankrupt is that we have rescue operations through the ESM. We have rescue operations through the European Central Bank, promises to investors and so on, guarantees, which are largely borne by Germany, actually by all countries according to their size, and Germany is the biggest country. So Germany, in that sense, is the biggest austerity mitigator, and an austerity that comes from the markets. Now, that in turn, then Germany says, well, if we help you to borrow at very low interest rates because we offer investors our own credibility and in repayment, then in exchange we want some limits to this borrowing under this artificially reduced interest rates. And that is perceived as austerity. This is completely flawed.
Well, it feels like austerity when it happens, Hans Werner.
Yeah, sure. But you understand my argument.
Yeah, if you're to look at Ireland and project maybe 5, 7 years down the road, would you be confident or optimistic about sustaining this economic performance we're enjoying right now?
Yes.
A lot of very powerful entities are circling around the question of international tax and corporation tax, and they're not too happy with how many foreign multinationals have been structuring their tax in Ireland. Do you think that is a serious potential threat to Ireland's economy, jobs and exports?
Yes, of course. Ireland plays the role of a tax competitor, a very successful low tax competitor in the Eurozone, attracting business which elsewhere would have to pay higher taxes. This is a concern for the other European countries and also for the OECD. You know that the OECD is actively trying to change this. And I wonder whether Ireland should not gradually rethink its strategy. 12.5% corporate tax is a little low. I think it would be good for the EU to have a minimum corporate tax rate, because if the countries themselves separately determine the tax rates, then it will be a race to the bottom for the tax rates. And in the end, no government will have sufficient tax revenue to finance its necessary expenditure.
But if we did that, we could get wiped. The current growth we're seeing, which is so important given our national debt, could disintegrate. And also, if we don't have tax-setting powers, we're basically in a federal Europe, and we didn't sign up for that, did we?
Not yet. In the end, I would think so. If one relies on other countries helping out in the case of a crisis, I think one also has obligations. And here, Ireland does have the obligations to mitigate its extensive low-tax competition.
Irrespective of the size of the economy.
Yes, of course. Why should that depend on the size of the economy? And above that, I think the Irish economy is productive. The main job was done by wage restraint in Ireland. So that got the economy going. Ireland does have a manufacturing sector, which, as I said, grew by 20%. This enormous number has not been reported in the public by last year. If you look at the figures, it's really astonishing.
Okay, Hans Werner Zinn, Professor of Economics and author of The Euro Trap on Bursting Bubbles, Budgets and Beliefs. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
You're welcome.